Right. We are holding on Mandalit on the Bay's four lines from the bottom. We mentioned about the people who have to bench Gomel, one of them being a person who was sick. We also had the expression started off with that Rabbi Yehuda had said in the name of Rabba Bots, Rishon Mahoidus, that there were four people who have to thank Hashem. So now we're going to have another thing where Rabbi Yehuda gives us a list, which also includes the number and also include the chayla. There are three people who need extra guarding, like somebody has to be with them all the time. A sick person, because Rashi says this is mazel is bad, therefore shed or whatever the koyches atzuma are more likely to try and figure, oh, we have our opportunity, let's go get him. So you need somebody else there in order to help with that. Chosin b'kala and chosin kala, because they're the other way around. He's jealous of that they're happy, they're fortunate or whatever, and therefore he's likely to the etahara, the shed, the whatever the various forces of tuma that are in the world. This is the source why we have that chosin and kala go around the shomer for that first week. The masnisa tana and a brisa we learn a slightly different list. Cholach choya chosin b'kala. Besides for a sick person, also a woman who just gave birth. Same idea.
Why she's called a chayyeh?
That's the word for it. That's the word for it in Gemara terminology. It means a woman who just gave birth. Maybe it's based on the fact in the pasuk in Parshas Shmos when the midwives are arguing with Paro over there. They think chayyeh is pena, that the Jewish women give birth easily. But maybe it developed from that. I don't know. Actually, I think the Medrash actually says on that pasuk that there's a rashi. Rashi even mentions it, that the midwives are saying to Paro, the Jewish women themselves are chayyeh. They themselves are expert midwives. And they know, because the word choya sometimes also means midwife in this context, and they know how to give birth without even our help, so we can't, yeah.
But why is it different from a choya? She's also a choya.
So that's why Rabbi Yehuda didn't list it separately. But the Braise breaks it out and lists it separately.
Well, we don't say you let it. Like,
I don't know, because sometimes they use the word you let it, sometimes they use the word choya. V'yesh o'mach oval, some say also an oval. V'yesh o'mach tamir chachamim balayla, and some say also tamir chachamim at night. Meaning, in other words, now when it comes to sleeping at night, actually you have Gemaras in other places that mention a person shouldn't sleep in a house alone. There should always be somebody with him. In fact, it's brought, for example, the Maharil, the famous late Rishon, the Maharil used to always have after he'd have his wife would sleep in the room with him. After she passed away, he would always have one of his Talmidim sleep in the room with him because of this issue. But this is, we're talking about even when he's not sleeping, even when he's awake at night learning Torah, then he needs, according to this Yesha Omrim, he needs protection as well. The Omer of Yehudash, hello. Shloshet Dvarim Hamarich Behen Marich and Yom Moshnois of Shalabim. There are three things where if a person takes his time over them, then it lengthens his days and his years. Hamarich B'Tfilosa, number one, somebody who davens at length. Hamarich Al Shulchanos, somebody who stays long at his table after his meal, because then that way, poor people can come. Well, poor people will come, and he'll have food what to give them, as opposed to if he finishes up his meal quickly and they clear the table, then if poor people come, it's not. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the third one, somebody who spends a long time in the bathroom, which we're going to see soon. The Gemara is going to discuss is that it's not so simple that one, but wait. So first of all, the first one, Hamarich b'tfilos imal yusahi. Are you telling me that somebody who davens at length is a good thing? A person who davens at length, we learned this actually previously in the fifth parak, that a person who davens at length, and he delves into it, like he thinks into it, he's saying to himself, I daven with such kavana, my tefillah surely must be accepted by Hashem, and what I want will happen. So eventually he comes to Hore, because not necessarily does what he wants yet actually take place. Shenema, as the pasuk says, meaning in other words that he gets disappointed. Shenema, techelas mumushacha machole. As the pasuk says, the techelas, which is meloshin tefillah, like by Chal Moshe, mumushacha, that is extended machole, with a sickness of heart. So he ends up feeling bad. He just ends up with heartache because he was putting himself into it and thinking, now Hashem is for sure going to accept my tefillah, and in the end it didn't. The Amr of Yitzchok, and Rabbi Yitzchok said, not only that, Shlush.
He's not governing to have his tefillah heard. He's governing because he has to know.
So if he's doing the Lishma, is one thing. Okay. In fact, Rabbi Yitzchok said, in that connection, there were three things that make persons averus mentioned and remembered in Shemayim, the Elohim, number one, kir notri, when a person walks under a leaning wall, so it's a dangerous place. Like, what is he going and walking in such a place? So they start saying in Shemayim, you know, what does he think? He's relying on his chosim. Let's see how much chosim he actually has. Number two, the ear and tefillah, when a person, like we said, you know, davens at length and delves into it and thinks, therefore, oh, Hashem for sure has to listen to my tefillah. And number three, or most again, al chaver al hashemayim, when a person says, Hashem should punish you for what you did to me. Then Hashem starts saying, okay, well, do you have the right to call down Din Shemayim? Now, by the way, the Gemara does say in Balakama, that's only where you have recourse here on earth. If you don't have recourse, you know, the example of it we have is with Sarah and Abraham, where she says, Chamosi Alecha, and in the end she passed away before him, where there's no recourse on earth, where the it's not possible to take the person to Beis Din for one reason or another, then yes, you're allowed to be most of Din. Because when Hagar was being chutzpah to her, anyway, the point is, that was the context. The Hagar was being chutzpah to her, and Sarah was saying to Avram that Hashem should judge you because you could have stopped her and you didn't. Okay, whatever. The point is that we see that Iyun Tefillah is not a good thing. So the answer is Hod Kasha, Hodim Ayimba, Hodim Ayimba. It depends. Is he delving into it? Is he thinking that therefore that Hashem is for sure going to answer my Tefillah, or is he not? Is he just davening at length? If he's davening at length, in and of itself, like you said, it's not a problem. So the Hefi Ovid, so in that case, what is he davening at such length? Demakish Beratni, he's asking for tremendous Rachmanis from Hashem. So in other words, the difference is, the kind of Marech B'Tfilasir Ma'ayinba is where he's saying, oh, now I deserve that Hashem should answer me. Marech Beratni is more like he's davening at length, and he says, look, whatever Hashem does for me is pure Rachmanim, so therefore I'm asking as much as possible for Hashem's Rachmanim. So that's fine.
That's fine,
that's legit, and it's even Marech Yom of Ushnois of Shalagam, it lengthens a person's life. Okay. Next, Ramarach al Shulchanai, why is it a person spends extra time at a table? Why is that a good thing? As Rashi had said before, Doma Asi Anya Vyovlai, because a poor person may come to the door, and this way he'll have food in front of him to give him. And we know that a person's table is a kapara for him like that. Dichtiv, HaMizbeach Eitz Sholosh Amos Gavaya, a pasuk in Yechezkel that starts by saying the Mizbeach was made out of wood. This is he's describing the third Beis Mikdash. So the Mizbeach is of wood, three Amos tall, Uchtiv, and then the same pasuk finishes, Vaydaber Elayz Yashokhan Osherlef Nehashem. He spoke to me, the Malach who was guiding him around. This is the table that's in front of Hashem. So what is it? Is he talking about the Mizbeach or the Shulchan? In fact, Rashi on the Pasuk says that when that's the question. That's the answer the Gemara is going to give, is that it is. On the surface, those are two different Kalim. Look, in this week's Parsha, right, we have the Shulchan as described in this week's Parsha, the Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaChitzin is described at the end of this week's Parsha, the Mizbeach HaPnimi is described next week. They're different Kalim. In fact, Rashi on the Pasuk over there says that when it starts off, HaMizbeach 8, it's not actually talking about the Mizbeach. On Pshat level, it's talking about the Shulchan, and it's saying which is near the Mizbeach. But the question is, why does the Pasuk phrase it in such a misleading way?
This is the future.
This is the third Beis Mikdash that Hashem is previewing. Hashem is showing Yechezkel a preview of it.
That's why he uses the word
Shulchan. So that's the question. So why does the Pasuk begin by talking about the Mizbeach and then continue with the Shulchan? Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar da'ami tavayu. The answer is Rabbi Yechon and Rabbi Elazar both say, because it means kol zman shebeis mikdash kayem Mizbeach mechaper al Yisrael, as long as the Beis Mikdash is standing, the Mizbeach brings kapara for the Jewish people. But actual Shulchan is shalom mechaper al of now a person's table is mechaper for him, and that's why it's important to be able to be at your table and be able to give food to the poor people right away. You actually have it. Some people have a minhag that the dining room table, they after 120, they cut it up and they use it as an oren for them. So that way, like the source of it accompanies them into the next world. Okay. Next, we said the third one on the list was a person who spends a long time in the bathroom. So what do you mean, Ma'uyusahu? Is that supposed to be a good thing for you? That we're saying it lengthens a person's life. V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, just the opposite. There are 10 things that bring a person to have hemorrhoids. Number one, ha'oichal aleg kanim, a person who eats leaves of bamboo or other such plants. V'aleg fanim, or leaves of grape leaves. You have, by the way, I mean, you have stuffed grape leaves as a thing that they eat. Spirudim eat it, for example. I don't know whether they eat the actual leaves themselves, but they take the grape leaf and they make sort of like when you make stuffed cabbage, like people have stuffed cabbage on some chasara. So it's a similar thing. They make it with grape leaves.
The actual leaves that grow on the grapevine.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm not sure if they eat the actual grape leaves. So. Okay, anyway, I'm just standing on caving with a lot of these things. Whatever. Number three is the Lovegfrun. I'm a person who eats the young branches, the little fresh branches from grapevines. Those are edible because they're soft. And also, though, but the problem is they can bring a person to hemorrhoids. Number four, Omerige Behema, a person who eats the rough parts of an animal, meaning that she describes, for example, the tongue. You ever get a tongue in the store, you notice it has this rough outer coating. So if you eat that, then it's no good for you. The Shedresh of dog, or you eat the spine of a fish, the dog Maliach Shein Mavushal Kotzokai, or salted fish, like herring, which is not fully cooked, Bashos the Shimre Yain, a person who drinks dregs of wine, like the stuff that falls to the bottom of the container, Bamakaneach the Sid, a person who wipes himself after going to the bathroom using plaster or lime or whatever, or he uses Charsis, crushed earthenware, crushed like back into a kind of dirt that's possible to use for wiping. So it's sort of like sand, but it's got a different consistency because it comes from earthenware. Toilet paper, right. And another last one is a person who wipes with a stone that somebody else previously used for wiping. And some say also a person who suspends himself in the bathroom more than is necessary. So then we see that's not a good thing. So what are you telling me? That's marich yomer v'shneisav. The answer is like kasha. Hod marich betoli, hod marich v'leitoli. There's a difference whether he's there for a long time but suspended versus not. Meaning they didn't have toilets in those days. The two possible ways a person could be going to the bathroom is either they have some sort of seat to sit on. They had makeshift toilets or things like that. But you could also have sometimes when there's nothing to sit on and a person just has to crouch over like a hole in the ground or something and there's nothing supporting them from underneath. So that's not a good thing. That's the kind of thing that can lead a person to hemorrhoids as opposed to if he has what to sit on, then it's a good thing. As we find the example that we find a certain Roman lady once said to Rabbi Yehuda Bar Eloi, this is Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, the regular Rabbi Yehuda the Tana, she said to him, Panecha, your face is shining so much. It resembles people who raise pigs or who lend out at ribbis. Those are people who have an easy life. She meant it literally. She meant it like, you know, those are the kinds of people that have an easy life. People who raise pigs, like, you know, what are they root around in the garbage. You don't really have to do much with it. Okay, she wasn't necessarily meaning to be respectful, but whatever. People who lend at ribbis, the same thing. You know, they can be sleeping in their bed and their money is getting bigger and bigger. So like your face is shining like that, like you make an easy life like that. Amalah, so he says to her, Hey Munusa, the Loshen of Shur, like the in truth, in all honesty, and as a matter of fact, I'm a Yid, and both those things are also for me. It's also for a Yid to raise pigs, and it's, of course, also to lend at ribis to other Jews, and even to Goyim, it's not so glatt. But the reason why my face glows so much is because on the way from where I stay over, from my lodgings until the Beis Medrash, there are 24 Beis Akitzes. When I'm going to the Beis Medrash, I take time by each one of them to check whether I need to go to the bathroom. So in other words, he doesn't hold it in even a little bit, and that makes his face glow. So we see from that altogether, now we're not talking about in any one place he spends very much time, but altogether in the aggregate, between all of them, he spends time, and that's what he's meant, Hamaris Bevesa Kisses. He meant that they're not necessarily the person takes a long time in one place. I think they did a study sometime back. They found that an average person, like whatever they need to get out, they get out in 12 seconds. But, you know, people usually spend more time than that in the bathroom, and you got interesting reading material and all, but in those days also, yeah. But the point is that, you know, it is important to make sure. It is important to make sure that you clean it out. Yeah. Okay.
Before you said that, only the Rebbe is not so into Goy, not the kosher.
Because the Gemara says actually. No, of course. That's true. But the Gemara mentions in Bava Metzia that if you have a prior year, there's not a Talmud Chacham, then he shouldn't be getting into a habit of that because then he's going to be around the Goyim and he may learn from them. If he lends Goyim at Rivet, technically it is allowed. The Torah even says, but nevertheless, the Gemara says that the Rabbanon are not too happy with a person because he may, who does that, because he's sticking around, he's hanging around the Goyim too much, and he may end up learning.
Yeah,
I suppose. Okay. V'amar of Yehuda, shloisha dvarim mekatsrim yama v'shnoisef shal adam. Now we have the other way around. There are three things. A person does them, doesn't do them, then it shortens the person's days and years. Number one, v'shnoisem lo sefer Torah likros v'enei koreis. They give him a sefer Torah to read from, and he doesn't want it. This is the concept why we have when they call a person for an aliyah, he has to take it. And this is why they make an effort. You know, if you're not sure whether somebody wants an aliyah, you don't first call them up. Yeah, I'm Lloyd, plenty been plenty. You go over and ask him, and you know, you go over and ask him in private. You know, do you want an aliyah, or whatever. And this way, if he doesn't want to, then he's not subject to what we're saying aliyah. Because if they were to call him by name, yeah, I'm Lloyd, plenty been plenty, and he says I don't want an aliyah, then you have a problem that we're saying aliyah. Number two, kos shabracha levarich ve'enim levarich. Number two, if they give the person the kos shabracha to bench and he doesn't want to bench. Okay, you have the Magen Avraham wants to say, maybe at least according to one way of understanding him, that maybe this is only talking about, indeed, when there's a kos shabracha. Not necessarily would it apply when you're not benching over a kos. Although the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring that. Now, the Alter Rebbe and Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring that distinction. Just the person doesn't want to bench. The Gemara is going to say in a second why. And number three, Bahamanik Asmed Rabbonus. Number three, a person who acts in a leadership way, like a person who acts like he's greater than everybody else. Now, if he actually is, for example, a Rosh Hashiva, a Nasi, or whatever, he is obligated to do that in public. But we're talking about he does that even in private. And a couple of them before we should also talk about that we may be talking about. Shah talked about Ben Yoyod, they're talking about that. We may be talking about a person who wasn't actually appointed, but like who took himself the job, like I'm going to be the leader now and you have to listen to me without the consent of the people, without being voted or whatever. Yeah. Sefer Torah, Likrit Ve'ene Koreh, why is it a person is given a Sefer Torah to read from, he gets an aliyah, and he doesn't want to, why does that shorten his life? Because the Pasuk says, the Torah is your life and your length of days. So a person doesn't want to do it, then the opposite. Because the Pasuk says, I will bless those who bless you. The one who benches Birkat HaMazon, we learned previously, it says a bracha for the Balabayas in the course of benching. So therefore, if he doesn't want to, then why he doesn't want to bench another year? So therefore, that shortens his life. Again, I mean, nowadays, that everybody benches on their own anyway, and everybody says the same nusach. So you Yivarech HaSalvi Mordi, Balabayas says that, then maybe there's less of an issue with that. Okay. And number three, Manig Asmed Rabbonus, we said a person who acts in a Rabbonus, in a leadership way, where do we see that shortens a person's life? The Amr of Chama Brachanina, but named Ma Mes Yosef Kodim Lechav. Why did Yosef die before all his brothers? And he was in fact younger than pretty much all of them. Mipnesha Hinig Asmed Rabbonus, because he acted in a leadership way. So, I mean, okay, there it was. I mean, it wasn't his fault. He was appointed by Pare, but still, you know,
it means
when you're telling them off. Also, for example, the Medrash mentions, I think it actually brings it on the pulpit, that 10 years were taken off his life because 5 times he heard them say, "Your servant, our father, Avdecha Avinu," and 5 times it was translated for him. So altogether, 10 times he heard it, and he didn't say, "You know, it's not derech eretz for you to talk like your father about that," and therefore 10 years were taken off his life. So that's also included. I don't think Rashi mentions it now, but I think that the Medrash mentions it.
What did they say to him?
5 times, and then in the course of the discussion with him, in the course of the conversation, they said to him, Avdecha Avi or Avdecha Avinu or whatever, your servant, our father. Now, of course, they didn't know at this point they're talking to Yosef. But still, he could have told them, you know what, okay, I don't know who your father is. I never met him. But it's not derech eretz for you to talk about him like that in front of me. But he didn't. And therefore, 10 times altogether, he heard them saying that, and he didn't protest. And therefore, the Medrash said 10 years were taken off his life. That's also included. But this is also the Shehinik Asmi Brabonus that he acted like in a high-handed way. What about the Rabbanim? I mean, again, in public you have to. Zroik Mora B'Talmidim, the Gemara says, in Ksuba. So a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva, whatever, has to act in public, at least, in a way. You know, you have to show them a certain Gvura. You know, you have to show them who's boss. But in private, he doesn't necessarily have to do that.
You know, it's in private.
Because the Gemara doesn't mention in private, but before she explains. Okay. There are three things that require rachmim. You have to ask from Hashem rachmim that they should happen. Because they're all, Rashi says, they're all these three things that we're going to mention are all in Hashem's hands, and therefore they only come with Hashem's rishus. Now, obviously, everything in the world happens with Hashem's rishus, but let's learn the three things, and then we'll talk about what Marashah says on it. Melech tov, shana tova, v'chaloyim tov. A good king, in other words, that the king should be good to the Jewish people, a good year, and a good dream. So Marshall explains that what we're talking about is primarily on Rosh Hashanah.
That's the Amora
Rabbi. The Amora Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you need three things. And Marshall explains what we're talking about is especially to ask Rachman for them on Rosh Hashanah. Because on Rosh Hashanah, things are determined for the entire year. So therefore, you need that. Therefore, what he's saying is that at that time, on Rosh Hashanah, is an appropriate time to daven for these three things that you should have, that the king or whatever, the ruler of the country should be good to the Jewish people, should be good for the country, that the year as a whole, should be good, and that if you have a dream on that night, that it should be a good dream. Because dreams on Rosh Hashanah are more significant than the ones the rest of the year. He even brings something that Marsha quotes from the Gemara, although it doesn't seem to be in the Gemara, but it's in one of the Rishonim, the Augur, that if a person has a dream on Rosh Hashanah and fasts because of the tiny column on Rosh Hashanah, then for the rest of his life, he always has to fast on Rosh Hashanah, even though he didn't have a dream like that in subsequent years. Anyway. Melech Tov, just where do we see a good king is in Hashem's hand? The heart of a king is like streams of water in the hands of Hashem, that Hashem makes it go in whatever direction he wants. A good year, the Pasuk says, the eyes of Hashem are always on Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. And Chalom Tov, actually, is how it says in the Pasuk. You should... The simple meaning of the pasuk is v'sachlimeni means you should make me recover v'hachayeni and make me live, but the Gemara is doubting v'sachlimeni in the Lashon Cholam, a dream. So we see that you have to ask Hashem that a dream should be good. Okay.
When do you ask that?
So that's what Marshall is saying. Primarily we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah. It's appropriate to daven for it any time, but Rosh Hashanah you need more rachamim for these things than other times. Okay. There are three things that happen in the world that Hashem himself, so to speak, makes an announcement about them. When there's going to be a famine, when there's going to be a surplus of years of plenty, and when there's going to be a good leader. Ra'av, dichtiv, ki kora Hashem la'rav. We have a pasuk that speaks, that says Hashem called to the famine. Famine is an inanimate. It's actually in the times of Malach. It's actually in the times of Elisha. But whatever, the point is that a famine is not something that can hear a command. So it means so. Therefore, we're understanding the word Korah, not called to it like and it responded, but called it out, announced it. So plentifulness, surplus, as the prophet says, I will call to the grain and I will increase it. And Paunas Tov, a good leader, Dichtiv by Yomer, by Gaber, actually Hashem Amor Shalomer, Re'e Korosi Hashem B'Tzalah B'Gomer, see, I've called out by name B'Tzalah. And again, B'Tzalah is not a Navi. He didn't receive a communication that Hashem called him, like Vayikra or Moshe. So it means Hashem announced that B'Tzalah is going to be the leader. In this connection, you only appoint a Paunas, a leader, over the...
He didn't do that for Moshe Rabbeinu.
That's fine. That's for.
So why do we say it's a general cost?
Who says Hashem didn't? Or who says Hashem didn't announce? It doesn't say in the pasuk that Hashem.
He
spoke to Moshe. It doesn't say that Hashem announced previously, but here it says explicitly in the pasuk that Hashem announced it. Again, sometimes it says explicitly and sometimes it doesn't say explicitly. But once we see it by the Tzalah, we can learn that it applies in other cases also. So in this connection, you only appoint a leader over the tzibur only if you first consult with the tzibur and then like have them vote or whatever and see if they agree. As the pasuk says later on in Parshas Vayakel, when B'Tzalah, so in Tzitzisa, Hashem tells Moshe, Re'ei Korasi B'Shem. And then later on in Vayakel, Moshe says to the Jewish people, Re'u, see, Kora, you should see that Hashem called in the name of B'Tzalah. So what does that mean? It means like this. It starts out, Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. It means when Hashem first tells Moshe about B'Tzalah in Parshas Kisisa, he says to him, Moshe, Hogun Alecha B'Tzalah, do you consider B'Tzalah to be a proper person who deserves to be a leader and deserves to be the leader of the architects?
What did he have to ask?
Because we're saying that you have to ask the tzibur. Amalei, and in a certain sense, B'Tzalah is now going to be over Moshe Rabbeinu because he's going to be the chief architect of the Mishkan. Amalei, so Moshe says, Rebbeinu Shalom, Im lefanecha hogun lefanei lekol shekein. If he's proper in your eyes, then how much more so is he proper in my eyes? So Marsha explains. In other words, what we're getting at is we talked before about manig asmi b'rabbonus. We said that a person who acts in a high-handed way against the tzibur, so it shortens his life, So what we're saying is, in other words, here it's the other way around. Hashem is asking the sallow. Hashem is asking Moshe, do you think the sallow is the kind of person who's not going to lord it over other people? Like this, he's going to have other architects underneath him. In particular, we know he had together with him Aholiyah, who was from Shevet Dan, which is the least important of all the Shvatim, whereas the sallow is from Shevet Yehuda. And he's from an important family. His great-grandmother is Miriam, whatever. So Hashem asks Moshe, do you think the sallow is the kind of person who's not going to lord it over the other people? And that's the fame and power is not going to go to his head. And Moshe says, if Hashem, if you yourself know that he's good like that, and you're saying he should be appointed, then of course I agree that he's of that caliber also. Hashem tells him, Afa became Leichem Olahem. Okay, very nice, you've agreed, but that's not enough. You have to go and tell the Jewish people. So he goes and asks the Jewish people the same question. Do you consider Bezalel to be a worthy person? And they said to him, if Hashem and you consider him to be a worthy person, then how much more so we? And therefore they voted him in, and that's it. Okay.
If he's the purpose.
No, because the point is,
really wanted to have their opinion.
No, but their opinion is that what their opinion is basically nafsa v'nishma. Whatever Hashem's opinion is, we know it must be good for us. So therefore, and
Hashem wanted their opinion about Bezalel.
That's fine. Their opinion is that Bezalel is worthy, and he's not going to be the kind of person who's going to let it go to his head.
Why did Hashem didn't ask who is how good enough?
Because Hashem chose Bezalel, because we're going to see he had certain qualities that made him suitable for this purpose. Why is Bezalel named that? He was named that because of his chokhmah. Hashem tells Moshe, go tell Bezalel to make me a mishkan and an aron and the other vessels for it. So Moshe, when he goes to Bezalel, goes and tells it to him the other way around. He tells him first make the Oren, then the Kalim, and then the Mishkan. Now, Tosfos points out that in Parshas Truma, in this week's Parsha, it does say it in that order. So Hashem originally told it to Moshe in that order. First it mentions the Kalim. Only later, in the middle of the Parsha, does it start talking about the structure of the Mishkan. But Tosfos says what it means is in Parshas Kisisa, when Hashem summarizes to Moshe everything that needs to be made, there Hashem tells Moshe the Oil Moed, and then he mentions the Oren. Whereas when Moshe then went and told that, so to Bezalel, he told him the other way around. So Bezalel tells him, Moshe Rabbeinu, the usual way of the world is a person first builds a house and then he puts kelim into it, then he puts furniture into it. You're telling me to first make the order and the other kelim and only later on the mishkan? Kelim, and this furniture and the kelim that I'm making, where am I supposed to put it? Maybe Hashem told you the other way around. First we make the shell of the Mishkan, and then we make the Oren and the Kalim. Omaloi, so Moshe is very impressed, because Shema B'tzeo Kale Ha'yisavi Adaita, were you maybe in Hashem's shadow that you were there and you overheard that you understand? So in other words, Bezalel was able to reconstruct what Hashem had actually said, and therefore he's called Bezalel, B'tzeo Kale, he's in the shadow of Hashem. He's not saying chas v'shalom. No, he's saying sincerely that you really hit on exactly what Hashem said. I think Rashi mentions it on the Pulse, but I don't remember. But this point about the sallow and the tzelkel, yeah. Okay. Deeper ideas about it, why indeed Moshe flipped around the order. One idea was, in fact, you have some of the Mepharshim said, the Rishpa says he did it, in fact, in order to test the sallow and see, does the sallow have Ruach HaKodesh, like he should. But there's also the Das Elyon and Das Tachton involved over here, you know, from Hashem's point of view, like the so to speak, the Oren and everything do come first, but from the point of view of Das Tachton, we human beings who make the Jid of a Tachtoidim, we make the shell first, so therefore, yeah.
Okay. He was very extremely young.
Then he's 13, right? Yeah. Amr of Yehuda Amr Rav, Yedea Hoy Betzalel, Saraf Oisias Shenivu Behen Shemayim Ba'orif. Betzalel actually knew how to combine together the letters with which heaven and earth were created, meaning that he understood the Tzimius and how Hashem created the world, and therefore he was able to make the miniature world, which is the Mishkan. You have many, many, many Sforim talk about the idea of how everything in the Mishkan and the Bet Mikdash reflects things that are in the wider world. So it's like a miniature world over there. Where do we see that? Simchacha v'aymala oisa ruach alekim v'chochma b'svuna over das. Here it says about the tzalo that Hashem filled them up with the spirit of Hashem, with chochma and tvuna, which is another word for bina, and das, uchtiv osem. And you have in Mishlei, when it describes, it says the same words about Hashem creating the world. Hashem b'chochma yosad oret. Hashem founded the world with chochma. Kernin shamayim b'svuna. He established the heavens with tvuna, uchtiv. And the next passage continues, v'day tzay tzahomas mitko. With his das, the deep, the depths were split open. So we see that Hashem used Chochma, Bina, and Das in creating the world, and we see that the Tzalo also had Chochma, Bina, and Das to create the Mishkan. Okay. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, in this connection, Rabbi Yechanan says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu noitzen Chochma, elo l'mishi yesh bo Chochma. Hashem only gives Chochma to a person who already has Chochma. In other words, he works on his own to develop Chochma, and then Hashem gives him more of it. As the pasuk says, Hashem gives wisdom to the wise, umanda ol yodei bina, and understanding to those who understand bina. Shomer of Tachlifa b'ma'arava, so Rav Tachlifa b'ma'arava heard this. V'omer kamei Rav Abahu, he told over the statement to Rav Abahu. Omale, so Rav Abahu tells him, after mehosta masminula, you're learning it from that pasuk, which is a pasuk in Daniel. Anan mehocha masminula, we instead in our yeshiva we learn it from this pasuk tichtiv, also in connection with the Mishkan. After it talks about the tzal and aliyav, the Hashem continues. Uvelev ko chacham lev nasati chachma, in the heart of every wise-hearted person, I have put chachma. So again, Hashem is saying they developed Chochmah on their own, and I'm giving them more. There's a medrash, by the way, where a Roman lady asks Rabbi Yossi, she says, so what's the point of that? I mean, don't the foolish people need Chochmah more? Why doesn't Hashem give them that? Give it to them instead. So Rabbi Yossi asks her, let me ask you something. If you need to lend money to somebody, you have a poor person and a rich person come to you for loans, which one are you more likely to lend money to? She says, the rich person. Why? And does the poor person need it more? Yeah, but if I lend it to the poor person, he's going to spend it and he's not going to be able to pay me back. Where's the rich person? I know he's going to be able to pay me back. So yeah, the same thing. If Hashem gave wisdom to the foolish people, they would go and waste it on shtusim of the world. So instead, Hashem gives it to the wise people who already show that they know how to use wisdom properly. Okay. We mentioned before about one of the things that you need to ask rachmim from Hashem for is chaloyim tov, for a good dream. So now the Gemara is going to get into a long discussion that's going to take up the next couple of blocks, all about dreams. Amr of Chista. Kol chaloyim v'loy tvos. Any dream, but not an empty stomach. Meaning, Rashi says what it means is, any kind of dream a person sees, fine, let him see it. As long as it's not so good for him if he sees the kind of dream when he's in a tinus, when he's fasting, and then he has a dream, then that's not a good dream for him. So in other words, the person should prefer any kind of dream, but not the kind that's on an empty stomach. The Aruch has a different explanation of it. He says actually what it means is any dream has some mamoshos, it means something, unless just the opposite, a dream on an empty stomach, his brain is working overtime or whatever and just coming up with shrutim. Marshall says yet another meaning of it. Normally we say a person has a bad dream, he should do a tinus cholim. But what happens, let's say a person has a dream on the night before a tinus sibur. So the next day he's fasting for the tinus sibur. So like he has no way of making that dream good with the tinus cholim. So that's what the Gemara means, he says. Okay. Also, Rav Chista says, a dream that has not been interpreted is like a letter that was not read. Meaning it's not yet good and it's not yet bad. As the Gemara is going to say later, the meaning of a dream depends on how it was interpreted. So therefore, as long as it's not interpreted, it's like a sealed letter where you don't know yet what's in it. Actually, Marsha over here, in this sugya, Marsha distinguishes between different kinds of dreams. In fact, Marsha says that there's actually a difference in the time during the night when they happen. You have dreams that are towards the beginning of the night, which is basically just based on what the person was thinking during the day, as I'll say later. You have ones that a person has during the middle of the night, which those may come, as the Gemara is going to say later, to a shed. So not necessarily is there truth to them, but it's not just based on his imagining during the day, but it's not necessarily really true either. Those are the kind where it depends on the interpretation, as the Gemara is saying over here. And then you have the third kind that are towards the morning, where then you have those are truer dreams. Those are ones that can actually be min hashemayim and can be even, as the Gemara is going to say later on Daf Mem Zayin, I think, they're going to be like a miniature nevuah, where they have real significance and they still need to be interpreted, but they depend less on the interpretation because the dream itself contains the interpretation, like the dreams we have in the Pesukim, like Yosef and Paros and whatever dreams. Okay. So a dream that's not, so a dream, meaning Marshal says primarily of the second kind that wasn't interpreted, is like a letter that wasn't opened. Rechista also says, a good dream, not all of it comes true, and a bad dream, not all of it comes true. You have part of it comes true, part not. Rechista says, a bad dream is better than a good dream, because a bad dream makes a person startled and it gets them to do tshuva. A good dream makes them feel comfortable. When a person has a bad dream, the fact that he's sad afterwards, that itself is mevasel, the bad effect of the dream. And chelma tova, when a person has a good dream, chedve mistaye, the fact that he's happy afterwards, that itself is mevasel, the dream, because that itself, he was happy, and therefore that accomplished, so to speak, now he has the good of the dream. Marshall says a little bit differently, that what it means is a person has a bad dream, and afterwards he's upset. That itself was the meaning of the bad dream, that he's going to be upset. He has a good dream, that itself is the interpretation of it is exactly that. If he's happy afterwards, then that itself was the interpretation that he's going to have, that he's going to be happy that day. The previous statement of Rav Chisda, a bad dream is better because it gets a person startled and gets them to do tshuva. Rabbi Yosef says, a good dream, even for somebody like me, where Rabbi Yosef was blind, so he couldn't enjoy anything in the world, but even for me, even for somebody like me, the fact that afterwards I'm happy, that is mevatel, the good of the dream. Because even though you would think, like, I don't enjoy much of the world anyway, so at least I should be able to enjoy a good dream, and that should be my hana in this world, but no, even that afterwards, then that's it. That's all the hana I get out of the dream. It's just the fact that I'm happy afterwards. Rav Chisda also says a bad dream is harsher to a person than Malchus. Again, with the idea being that it makes him worry, it makes him nervous, and therefore it gets him to do tshuva. As the Pasuk says, Hashem made it in the world that people should fear him. So therefore, in other words, one of the things Hashem made in the world that people should fear him is that Hashem gives people bad dreams sometimes. Because a person has a bad dream, and then as Rashi says, he's fearful, and therefore that causes them to be humble and to do tshuva. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel, not Yechezkel, in Yirmiyah, where the Navi is criticizing the false Nevi'im, and the pasuk goes like this, HaNavi Asher Itay Chaloim, a Navi that has a dream, but it wasn't a real dream of Nevi'ah, it was just a dream, it was just a fake Navi, Yisaper Chaloim, so fine, let him tell over to his friends, I had a dream. If my words are with him, in other words, he had a dream which is true nevuah, yadav adivrei, then let him speak true words. In other words, because he had in those days fake nevi'im who would have dreams and they'd pass them off as real nevuah. But he continues, mala tevenas habor no'um Hashem. What does the straw have to do with the grain, says Hashem? So the question is, what's the comparison of straw versus grain to a dream? Meaning, Marshal says the question is, if it was malach teven eitz al abor, then fine. It would mean the teven are the dreams that are not nevuah. The bor are the dreams that are nevuah. But when it says malach teven es abor, seems to imply that within the dream of nevuah itself, there's a little bit of straw. So what's going on over there? It means kashem shei efshal abar b'loy teven. Amar b'yechan mishum b'shem benichoy. Elo amar b'yechan mishum b'shem benichoy. Kashem shei efshal abar b'loy teven. Just like you can't have grain without straw, kachi efshal achalayim b'loy dvorim b'kelim. The same way, you can't have a dream without some nonsense in it. Amar b'rechia chaloyim. So b'rechia says in that connection, when it comes to a dream, afal pishim tosim miskayim. Even though some of it may miskayim, even though some of it may come true, kulay enim miskayim. The whole thing doesn't come true. Menala mi Yosef. We see that from the story of Yosef. He had a dream that the sun and the moon, etc., are bound to him, and the moon is supposed to represent Rachel. Vahi shai to imelahavos. At the time when he dreamed, and then certainly by the time the dream came 2 years later, his mother wasn't alive anymore, so she never bowed to him. So therefore, you see that even though he had the dream that the sun and the moon and 11 stars are bowing to him, and mostly that came true later on when the Shvatim bowed to him and Yaakov bowed to him, but you see, Rachel never bowed to him because the moon represents Rachel. The sun is Yaakov, the moon is Rachel, and the 11 stars are the Shvatim. In fact, I mean, you have the Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there that maybe you could say it talks about Bilha, and but not necessarily was, not necessarily, not necessarily yeah, because she raised him as a foster mother after Rachel. Because she was his foster mother. But the problem with that is there's no evidence that Bilhah was still alive when they came to Mitzrayim either, and that was when they bowed to him. So yeah, okay. A person should always expect that a good dream can come true up to as much as 22 years later. Where do we see 22 years? We get that from Yosef. We say that this whole story of the sale of Yosef happened when Yosef was 17. That's when he had his dream. And he was 30 when he stood in front of Pare and was appointed prime minister. So, how much is from 17 till 30 is how many years? So far you have 13 years till he was appointed viceroy. Then then you have 7 years of the plenty, and 2 years of famine before Yosef's brothers showed up and the whole family came to Mitzrayim. So there you have 22, and at the end of the 22 years, then they bowed to him, and Yaakov bowed to him, and whatever. So there we see, that took 22 years for it to be Niskayim. Okay. A good person is not shown a good dream, because again, that's going to make him too comfortable. And the point is, Hashem wants him to bring him to Tshuva. And a bad person is not shown a bad dream. And in fact, Rashi actually says the other way around. So a good person is shown bad dreams this way. In other words, he'll be nervous and he won't do avos. And a bad person is shown good dreams this way. You know, he'll be happy, he'll be comfortable, he'll enjoy Olam Hazeh, and then he's not necessarily going to get his Olam Hazeh. So it's quite Tanya Namihochi. In fact, we learn like that in the Braisa. Throughout David's whole life, he never saw a good dream. On the other hand, during Achitofel's whole life, and Achitofel was a Rasha, he didn't see a bad dream. So the question is, what do you mean that a good person never sees a good dream? Well, you have a pasuk, lo sa'una elecha ra. The pasuk says, no evil should befall you. And what does that mean? The whole pasuk goes, lo sa'una elecha ra, v'nega la yikra ba'alecha. So lo sa'una elecha ra, v'amar of chista, amar of yirmi ba'aba, sh'lo yapilucha, lo chaloy mesroim, lo hirhurim ra'im. It means you shouldn't be scared by bad dreams or by bad thoughts. The nega la yikra ba'alecha, and when the pasuk continues, no nega, no plague should come close ba'alecha in your tent. So we know that a person's wife, in many places in Torah, is called metaphorically his tent, his house. Means shalotimta ishtecha suffik nida b'shar shat abam and aderech. Means that the bracha is that you won't find your wife suffik nida when you come home from a trip. You come home from a trip, you want to be able to have relations. At least, and Rashi, in fact, explains elsewhere that at least if she's vada nida, okay, that's nice, you know, but you find suffik nida and you're, yeah, like, you know, is it really not? Yeah, so. So therefore, we see that there's a bracha for a tzaddik that he shouldn't be scared by bad dreams. Okay, so the Gemara says, you're right. Ela ihu lechazi leachrini chazule. You're right. What it means is that he himself doesn't see bad dreams, but other people see bad dreams about the tzaddik, and they tell him. So that's what we're saying. So not that David himself was troubled by bad dreams, but other people have bad dreams about him, and they tell him. Okay, so the question is, So the tzaddik doesn't have any dreams at all. He's not having bad dreams, so he shouldn't be scared of them. He's not having good dreams, because Hashem doesn't want to make him too comfortable. So does that mean he has no dreams at all? Is that a good thing? But we learned before, we had earlier in the Masechta, the beginning of the second parak, that Rabbi Zeira had said, Kol alon shiva yamin b'lo chaloyim nikra ra, a person who sleeps for 7 days and does not have dreams at all is called bad. Shenem of a saveya yolin b'al yipoked ra. As the pasuk says, the person sleeps satisfied, no evil will befall him. I'll take with saveya el sheva. Don't read saveya satisfied, but sheva seven. So in other words, we reread the pasuk. If he sleeps for 7 days, bal yipoked, and he's not being visited min hashamayim with any dream, ra, then he's bad. Because it means, in other words, like Hashem doesn't want to send him any messages about what's going on in order that he should improve or whatever. We also talked about it. We also talked about over there about an explanation. I think it was from Pesher Agadta that the idea is that maybe it was in Chassidus. I don't remember actually. That the idea is if a person goes for 7 days in succession, not even realizing this world is a cholam, this world is not all there is, then there's something he needs some attitude adjustment.
Do you consider having an appearance of Hashem a dream or not?
Does he see something in his dream or not? So Eli Hachi Kama, so the Gemara says, right, what it means is the Choza v'lo yoda my Choza. No, so what do we mean? In other words, that the good person is shown a dream, but he doesn't know what he saw. In other words, he forgets it. So he does have a good dream. So this way he's not going for 7 days without a dream, which then he'd be called Ra. But Hashem also makes it by the morning. He should forget the dream, so that way he's not happy, and that way he doesn't get overconfident. Different explanation about it is also that it means he sees a dream, but he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know whether it's good. But like we said before, it depends on the interpretation, and in and of itself, it's not necessarily a good dream. So therefore, he has a dream, but not enough to make him feel comfortable. Okay. Next. If a person has a dream and he's worried, he doesn't know what the dream foretells. What he should do is he should go and have it interpreted in front of three people. The question is, what do you mean? What do you mean have it interpreted? We said before, Rav Chisda said that an uninterpreted dream is like an unopened letter. So Adarabba, let him not get it interpreted, and that way, whatever bad there might be in it is not going to actually happen. Just like nothing actually happens, so you open the letter.
Or also make him neutral.
Well, the answer is now Ella Ema Yitzi Venu with Nei Shloisha. No, what it means is you should do a Tovas Chaloyim. You should do a thing to improve the dream in front of three people. What does that mean? Leisi Tlosa. He should bring together three people. Rishonim have the gears there. It's not just any three people. These should be three people who are good friends of his. The Rachmila is how the Rosh and the Tur bring that. These should be three friends of his. The Lemelahu, we should tell them Chelma Tova Chazoy, and you can find this, by the way. I don't know if they have it in the newer Fixedurim, because nobody does it nowadays anymore. But in the older edition of the Fixedurim, you can find it after Tikkun Chazoy. You have, and they also have his original Siddur. You have Seder Atavas Chaloyim, based on what the Gemara is saying over here. So he says to these three people, Chelma Tova Chazoy, I saw a good dream. And the three friends should answer him, it is good, and it should be good. Because in other words, this is one of those things, you think good about it, you say good, then that has a powerful effect. We know the famous story with Baal Shem Tov, with the guy who said, I'm going to rip you up like a fish, and it had an effect on my left to hear it the other way around. They're saying that it will be good, so that itself makes it good. They continued, Rachmana l'shavya l'tav, may Hashem make that this dream should be good. Shva zimnin ligzuru aloch min shmaya v'lehebe tova. 7 times may they be gozer on you min hashamayim, that it should be good. V'yehebe tova, and it will be good. Tosfos brings a different explanation, that the shva zimnin refers to the previous sentence. That they should say 7 times, they should say, that 7 times they should say, Rachmana l'shavya l'tav, that it is good and Hashem should make it good. So actually, in the Alter Rebbe, Seder HaTavas Chaloyim, you can find it has both things. You have that they say these things to each other 3 times. He says Chel Motav HaChazoy, they say Chel Motav HaChazaita, and they continue with the words over here in the Gemara, and they go through that 3 times, and then they do that whole thing 7 times. So that way, and they actually say in the words, they actually say shvazim, and they say 7 times they should be gozman. So this way, we're makayim both possible meanings that Tosfos says of what it means shvazim. Either that it means 7 times Hashem should change it, or it means 7 times they say these words. Okay. And then, v'leimu gimol hafuchos, v'gimol peduyos, v'yishalosh shlomos. Then, in addition, as part of Atavas Chaloyim, and again, you can see this in the Siddur, they say 3 psukim that refer to transforming, hafuchos, v'gimol peduyos, 3 psukim that refer to Hashem, that 3 psukim that refer to saving somebody, v'yishalosh shlomos, and 3 psukim that refer to shalom. Shalosh hafuchos, number one is hafachta misvidi l'mocheli, David says to Hashem, you transformed my mourning into dances and rejoicing for me. Pitachta saki, you opened up my sackcloth, v'tazreni simcha, and you belted me, you girded me with happiness. That's the first one. Number two, oz tismach besolah b'mochel. The pasuk says, then when Mashiach comes, the young women will rejoice with dancing. V'achurim uskenim yachdav, and the young men and the old men together. V'al sachti evlam l'sasin v'gemer, and Hashem says, I will transform their mourning into happiness. That's the second one of Afuchos. And the third, v'loy ova Hashem alakach l'shmaya al Bilam, v'yafach v'gemer, Hashem didn't want to listen to Bilam, and he transformed his curses into brachas. Next. the Sholosh Beduyas, the three Sfilkim about redeeming, number one, if they're part of a Shalom Nafshi Mikrovli, the Goyim, Hashem redeemed my soul in peace from the wars against me. Number two, if Duryei Hashem Yishuvon, the Goyim, the ones who are redeemed by Hashem will return by Kibbutz Goliath when Mashiach comes. And number three, by Yomer Amal Shol HaYonath and Yomos HaShalasa Yishuv, the people said this is that they had a war with the Plishim, Shol had made an announcement that nobody's allowed to eat, Yonathan had eaten, so Shol wants to have Yonathan put to death. Yes. And then the people say to Yonathan, the people say to Shaul, Yonathan, Yomos, Shaul, Yeshua, Vagoma, should Yonathan die, that he caused this tremendous salvation to the Jewish people, that he was the one who started the fight against the Plishtim, and now we defeated them, and the passage finishes off, Yiftu, Amos, Yonathan, Vilaimes, that they redeemed him, and he wasn't executed.
Because
first of all, he hadn't been there when the Shavuot took place, but also he was fainting from hunger. The Gemara mentions in Yuma that he had bulmos, he had like a condition where he couldn't see straight because he was so hungry. So he took a little bit of honey, which also he also argued that the Shavuot was only meant to cover bread, because he said lechem, and this was only honey, so whatever,
but
Shaul didn't know about it at the time. The people said to Yonathan, you know, your father made the Shavuot, and Yonathan says, you know what, I don't think it was right of him to do that in the first place. If people aren't fasting, then they'd be able to fight all the more effectively against the Plishtim, whatever. It's a whole long story in Sefer Shmuel over there, yeah. Okay.
What's the halacha, by the way? Can you fast when you go to war?
In the olden times, they used to, but actually we find that in later times, they didn't, because they'd be weaker. You know, we're coming up to Tainus Esther now. I don't remember where this verse is from, but they say, why do we call it Tainus Esther? You know, we have a lot of characters in the story. The reason is because who is fasting on that day? Not the Jewish people who are going to war. They can't fast. It'll be too dangerous. They're going to be weak against their enemies. The only one who's able to fast is Esther, because she's safe in the palace. Therefore, we call it Tainus Esther.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah. The dean is, but you don't find.
So in the olden days they did, but in later times they stopped doing that. Okay. Next. Shalosh Shloimus, we say three Pesukim of Shalom. Number one of these we say also on Mata Shabbos. Dichtiv Bore Niv Sfasoyim, Hashem creates the speech of lips. Shalom, Shalom, Larochet, Velakarev, Amar Hashem. Hashem says peace, peace to those who are far away and to those who are close. Hashem says, Urafasiv, and I will heal him. Number two, Ruach Lov Shas Amasai, we have a spirit of Hashem in clothed Amasai, and he says, Shalom, Shalom, Lachol, Shalom, Ma'ezracha. And Amasai was actually a nephew of David, but the pasuk describes in Divrei Hayamim that you had a whole group of soldiers came to David while he was still hiding out from Shaul, saying, we want to join you. And David says, are you really coming because genuinely you want to be on my side, or are you then going to claim you're going to turn traitor or whatever? And Amasai says, Shalom, Shalom, B'chol V'Shalom L'Ezracha, and David accepts it and then puts them at the head of his band of soldiers.
And he was faithful.
And number three, Va'amartim Koy L'Choy, also with David, where he says to his messengers when he's sending them to Nabal, to ask Nabal for food, Va'amartim Koy L'Choy, you should tell them you should still be alive at this time next year, Va'af Shalom Veit Shalom Begamer, and you are Shalom and your household is Shalom, etc. Okay, those three Sukkim we say on Matzah Shabbos in you actually have people who have a minute to say also the other ones, the Peduyot and Afuchos as well. You can find in Nusach Ashkenaz Sidurim, they have those in the Yitzhak Machal also. It's Grotho, the Alter Rebbe did not, because in particular, we have in some of these Sukkim, we have Avelos, we have Misfade, he didn't want that on Matzah Shabbos. It's not an appropriate time for that. Right?
So
Nusach Ashkenaz is different. They have their own poskim. But then, okay. So those are the Pesukim that are all said as part of Hatavas Kalayim. So again, you can look in the Siddur and you can find this whole thing over there. All right. Marsha also, by the way, has a long explanation about how these three things, again, you have three kinds of dreams, where we said there one that's just based on what a person imagined during the day, and one based on what Shadim brings to him, and one based on what Malachim brings to him. So therefore, each one of these represents a different kind. The reason why you say three of each kind of pasuk is to represent those three different kinds of dreams. One represents the salvation of an individual, one of the Jewish people, etc.
Right. Where's that from?
The Marsha says that. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amemar Mazutra Rav Ashi Habu Yatsi Bahadi Adadi. One time, Amemar, Mazutra, and Rav Ashi are all sitting together. Amu, so they said, Kochab Chaminan Lema Milta Delishmiya Lechavre. Each one of us should say something in Torah that the other ones have not heard of before. So, Pasach Chaminai Over Omer. One of them started by saying, speaking of dreams, Haiman de Chaza Chelma. Person had a dream. Vela Yoda Mai Chaza. He doesn't know what he saw, whether it's good or bad. We should stand in front of the Kohenim when they're duchening. V'leimahachi, and he should say the following tefillah, which we say by Dochman, Ribbono shel Olam, ani shalach v'chalamot shalach, Ribbono shel Olam, I am yours, and my dreams are yours. Chaloyim chalamti ve'en yedeh mahu, I dreamt a dream, I don't know what it is. Bein shechalamti ani la'afmi, so whether I dreamt that dream for myself, or bein shecholmi lichaverai, whether other people dreamt it about me, or bein shechalamti alacherim, or whether I dreamed it about other people, im tovim hen, if they were good dreams, chazkem v'amtem, then strengthen them and support them, kachalamotzev shel Yosef, like Yosef's dreams, that they should come true, bein tzrichim refuah, and if they need healing, because they're not such good, they're not such good dreams, refine them, heal them. Can they mara al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu, like the water of the mara that were healed by Moshe Rabbeinu, or Miriam mitzarasa, like Miriam was healed from a saraf, or Chizkiyahu mecholya, like Chizkiyahu was healed from his sickness, or Kamei Yerichai al yidei Elisha, and like the waters of Yerichai were healed by Elisha. We say these, we also add the one that Naaman was healed from a saraf.
Why do you have so many examples?
Because we have... Right. I didn't see that, but Pashtus, each one shows a different way of how Hashem healed something. For example, Meimara was Hashem healed them through bitter water. So you see, sometimes Hashem heals bitterness with bitterness. In the case of Chizkiyo, Hashem healed them in the course of David. In the case of etc. So each one represents a different kind of healing. The Pashtus. Uchshem shalfach tachilas vilam arasha b'levracha, just as you transformed the curse of vilam arasha into a bracha, kein hafoich koch halamotza ala l'toiva, so also you should transform all my dreams from me to good. So we say this by Dochanin, especially in Kotzlaris, they only Dochan on Yom Tovim, so even if a person doesn't specifically know that he had a dream, practically speaking, during all the time, from one Yom Tov to the next, you probably had a dream and you just don't remember.
So what about the counting when they Dochan, they cannot say that?
So they can always, first of all, they can always go to another shul if they need to, where then they don't have to duchen again. And
you don't have to duchen again?
They don't have to. They're not required to, yeah. So I guess they can do that. I don't know. Then he continues, Umasayim Bahadi Kahani de Onit Tzibura Amen. He should finish off the last words of that tefillah along with the Kohenim, so that way the Amen of the Tzibur also goes on his tefillah. And as we do that, we say the last three words, Vesishmereni, Vesichoneni, Vesisaini, which when they, as they say in the word Shalom, which actually those three words represent the three brachot of Birkas Kohenim. Yeah. Marsha brings that actually, Vesishmereni, Vesichoneni, Vesisaini. Marsha actually brings that you say this tefillah three times, one for each of the brachas of Birkas Kohanim, one for each of the pesukim of Birkas Kohanim. In Nusach Ashkenaz, Sidurim, you actually have that. They say it at the end of the pasuk, Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha. They again say it by Yichunecha. And then when it comes to Shalom, instead of that, they say a different tefillah that was composed, that was composed by Rav Nosson Nasa Hanover. We instead just do it the one time on Shalom. Yeah. And on the Yachim Machash Shalom. Okay. Then if not, meaning if he finished it too early, or a different girsa that the Rif and other Rishonim have is, when the Kohenim turn their faces around, back towards the Oren, then he should say like this, which we also say, Hashem was glorious in the heavens and dwells in power, you are peace and your name is peace, may it be your will that you should give us peace. So you say that when the Kohenim have turned around, and we do that, while we still have the talus over our heads. Okay. So that was all one statement from one of these three Amorim. That's after Birkas Kohenim. After Birkas Kohenim, after they finished the word Shalom, they put down their hands. We said Rishonim, 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 while they're saying Shalom. They then put down their hands and turned towards the Aron. And that's when we said, during that, we then when after they turn around, we say Adab Amorim. Okay. Next. The second Amorah spoke up and said, remember we said each Amorah is supposed to be saying something that the other ones hadn't heard of before. So he starts saying, so if a person is going into a city, the dochu ma'ein of desha, and he's nervous about the ayin hara that he may get from people in the city over there, what he should do is hold his right thumb in his left hand, the zok for the yod di smale the yod di mine, and his left thumb in his right hand. So you should do like this, in other words. So each thumb. Like that. Exactly like that. Each hand is each thumb is inside the other hand. Yeah. And it should say as follows, it says his name, am from the descendants of Yosef, where Ayin Hara is not effective against the descendants of Yosef. Marsha points out, he can say that even if he doesn't know that he's from Shevet Yosef, because all the Jewish people, first of all, by now, 3,000 years later, practically speaking, probably everybody is, but besides that, all the Jewish people can be called after the name of Yosef, because Yosef sustained the Jewish people during the famine, and therefore he's called like an honorary one of the others. Yeah, in various places of Siddur, it talks about, you have the actual others, the three legs of the Merkava, and you have Yosef is sort of like, Yosef is sort of like, is like a, is almost like a fourth leg. Not actually, because he's not one of the others, but still, like, yeah. Okay. Shanem, Ben
Kurt. But a lady is not a descendant of Yosef.
But again, from his mother's side, from his father's mother's side, whatever, yeah. Shenema ben Kodas Yosef ben Kodas Ali Oyin. Remember, as it says, a fruitful son is Yosef, a fruitful son over the eye, meaning ultimately Ali Ayin, not over the eye or over the spring. Ela Oyle Ayin, they go over the eye. They have power over the Ayin Hara, and it doesn't affect them. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina Amar Mehecha. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina says we can learn that from a different pasuk. The Yidgu Laroi Bekarav Aref in Yaakov's Bracha. He says they should multiply like fish in the middle of land. Ma Dogim Shabayam Mayim Machas Malayim Vein Ayin Rosh Aletes Behem. Just like fish in the sea, the water covers them, and therefore Ayin Hara has no effect on them. Af Zarish Yosef Vein Ayin Rosh Aletes Behem. The same way that the descendants of Yosef, no Ayin Hara has any power over them. So therefore, so if he's biologically descended from Yosef, then good. And even if not, again, all the Jewish people are called after the name of Yosef. We all have, yeah, Yosef is Yisoid, and all Jewish people have power that we get from Yosef. Okay. He's one of the seven Shvizim, for example.
That's true, right.
Yeah.
But that's spiritual.
Yeah, but spiritually, the essence of a Yid is the spirituality, right? The essence of a Yid is the Shabbat.
So what do we say he has to be a descendant of
Yosef? So we're not saying. He says, I am a descendant of Yosef, meaning if not biologically, then spiritually. Yeah. Okay. Pasach idach v'amar, then, okay. The idachim ain't a bishop delay. What about if a person is nervous about his own yetzahara, his own ayin hara? In other words, he's concerned that he might give an ayin hara to other people, or even that he might give an ayin hara to himself. What he should do is by bringing attention to his own good fortune or whatever, or maybe by looking badly at other people, then what he should do is look down at the left side of his nose.
How can you look at the left side
of your nose? Why not? You close your eyes, you look down, you see the left side of your nose. Try it. So maybe, you know, this might be related to the famous thing. You know, you have the famous thing where it says that the Friedrich Rebbe, when he was 4 years old, asked the Rebbe Rashab, why did Hashem create a person with two eyes? So the Rebbe Rashab tells him, you know, you have a shin with a right dot and a shin with a left dot, right? So the same way, Hashem created you with a right eye to look favorably on another yid and a left eye to look with that. You look at, for example, a candy or a toy or whatever, something that's less important. So maybe that's the message of the Gemara over here also. You look down at the left side of your nose, you realize, you know what, I mean, to look at another yid, don't be looking with an eye and heart, look at the right side. But for yourself, yeah, look at the left side and realize that, yeah. Okay, Pasach Idach Vama, then the third one started saying, Haiman de Cholish, when a person is not feeling well, Yoimakama Loilagali, the first day that he's sick, he should not inform other people of it. Ki Heikid Le Litra Mazle, that way his mazel doesn't go bad. Mekanda Eilach Ligli, and afterwards he can go and inform people so they should daven for him.
After the first day.
Ki Hodid Rava Ki Hava Cholish, for example, we see the example. When Rava wasn't feeling well, Yoimakama Loilagali, the first day that he was sick, he wouldn't inform people. After that, he would tell his servant, go announce that Rava is not feeling well. And this way, anybody who likes me will then daven for Rachmanis for me. Well, Manda Sonile, and anybody who doesn't like me, Lechdili. Okay, he'll be happy about me. But look, okay, Rava finally got what's coming to him. And after all, the Pasuk says, Foil or Yubchal Pismach, the Pasuk says that when your enemy falls, don't rejoice. When he stumbles, your heart should not be happy. Pen Yira Hashem Verabeena, because then Hashem might see it and it'll be bad in his eyes. Then Heshiv may all of Afe, and he'll turn away his anger from him. And it was Rava saying, if somebody, well, not necessarily to you, but the point is, Rava is saying, so like that, if somebody's happy for me, then good. That itself will call that Hashem will take away his anger from me and I'll recover. Okay. Next. Going back to dreams, Shmuel ki have a chazi chel mabisha, when Shmuel would see a bad dream, Omar, he would say, okay, there's no problem in it. As the pasuk says, dreams speak emptiness. When he would see a good dream, he would say, what do you mean? Like you're asking the question, the pasuk has a rhetorical question. Do dreams speak falsehood? The pasuk says that Hashem says that most Nevi'im, I speak to them in dreams. Rava Rami, so Rava pointed out the contradiction. And the answer is, was the dream brought to him through a malach or through a shed, which is that distinction that I was mentioning before, that Maharshal says between you have dreams that just come from a person's own imagining, you have ones that are brought through a shed, which may or may not be true, and it depends how they're interpreted. What?
Practically.
I don't know. It means Maharshal says it means when they're in the middle of the night, like during the second Ashmura of the night.
So you hear something?
No, but the point, a dream that comes during that time generally is brought to a person through a shed. And then you have the ones in the last part of the night are brought through a malach, and those have more truth to them. Okay, but then when during the night, you have different times during the night. Okay. Yeah, but some different period during the night. Maybe the first period, the middle period, the last period, no? Amr Bizna Bazavda Amr Abakiva Amr Panda Amr Abnachum Amr Abiris Amr Abirim Mishum Zakan Echad, all in the name of one elder Tamar Chacham, Manu Rabbana, who was that Rabbana? Esrim Baba Postri Chaloim Atayib Yerushalayim. There were 24 people in Yerushalayim who would interpret dreams. Pamachas Chalamti Chaloim. One time Rabbana says, I dreamt a dream. Vahalachti Etokolam. I went to all of them to have it interpreted. Umasha Kotoli Zele Kotoli Zeh. Each one gave me a different interpretation of the same dream. Vakolam Niskaimabi. And all of them came true in me. Lakayim Mashinema Kolacholam Etokolamachrape. This fulfills what it says in the passage, that all dreams follow what it says, what the mouth says. What do you mean? There's no such pasuk. The answer is ain. Indeed, there is a pasuk that expresses that idea. The Chiddur Rabbi Elazar, like Rabbi Elazar says, the Amr Rabbi Elazar, how do we know that all dreams follow the interpretation that was given to them in the mouth? Shenema is that you have by the dreams of the butler and the baker, that the butler says to the Saramashkin, says to Pari, by he kasher pasalonu, kain hoya, it was as he interpreted for us, so it was. So we see, in other words, the point is, like the dream itself was a little bit ambiguous, and then Yosef's interpretation made it actually happen that way. So again, Maharshal distinguishes between the different kinds of dreams where you have some where interpretation has more of an impact on them than others. No, where it has more of an impact on certain kinds of dreams than others. You have a certain kinds of dreams, again, that are just based on a person's fantasies, what they were thinking about they were during the day. Those dreams are mostly shush. And then you have the kind of dreams that are more through a malach, where there's more truth to them, and there it depends less on the interpretation, because then you have...
You know the difference.
Okay. Rabbi, who do we fashion them and me'in chelme? Rabbi says, only if the interpreter interprets something that's appropriate to the dream. He doesn't just, it has to fit the details of the dream. Ish kachaloyme poster, as the pasuk says over there, that the Saramashkin says, each one he interpreted like his dream.
So we have to match the dream.
Okay, we said by Yar Sarah Oifim, earlier we have, after Yosef had interpreted the two dreams, the prophet says the Sarah Oifim saw that Yosef had interpreted well. Menoyada, how does he know that he interpreted it well? Amr Rabbi Elazar, Melamed, from this we see, Shekol Echad Ve'echad, Heru Chaloymei, Opisrin Chaverish Chaloymei. Each one of them, the Sarah Mashim and the Sarah Oifim, was shown his own dream and the interpretation of the other one's dream. So once the Sarah Oifim heard what Yosef said to the Saramashkin, and in 3 days he's getting his job back, etc., then the Saramashkin recognized, I myself saw that in my dream.
So they both saw
each other the interpretation of each other's dream. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the Saramashkin had a dream that he saw the vine over there, and he saw him pressing the grapes, etc., as well as he also saw in his dream the Saramashkin being hanged. And the Sarah Oifim, the other way around, he saw in his dream himself with the three baskets on his head, etc. And he also saw the Sarah Mashkin back at his job. Which, by the way, it shows you what a rasha he was, and he couldn't even bother to tell the other guy what he saw, the good that he saw about him, that he had to wait for Yosef. No, he saw good about him. He saw good that you're going to have a job. Okay. All right. Amr of Yechanan. Hishkin v'nafal like pasuk l'seich piv. If a person wakes up in the morning and the first thing he says, he thinks of a pasuk and says it, harei de nevuah k'tana. That's a mini nevuah. Again, based on what Maharshal is saying, especially dreams close to the morning anyway have more nevuah component to them than others. But especially when there's a pasuk involved, then it means it has more of a metziyus. But Amr Rav Yechon, Gimel Chaloyim is Miskaimen. There are three kinds of dreams that are actually going to come true. Chaloyim Shal Shachris, number one, the dream that a person has close to the morning, like shortly before he wakes up. But Chaloyim Shal Cholam Leichaveri, a dream that somebody else dreamed about him. Because again, if he himself dreamed about it, okay, it could be based on what he imagined during the day. But other people don't usually have you uppermost in their thoughts, so therefore it's more likely to be true. And the third one is a dream that was interpreted within a dream. So in other words, if within the dream itself you had a dream and then you had somebody in the dream saying this and this is this is the meaning of the dream, then that itself shows that it's going to come true. Some say also a dream that was repeated. As we find, that's the pari. The fact that the dream is repeated shows that it's going to come true, and it's going to be very soon.
It's going to be soon.
Well, it's both. It means that it's going to be soon, but also he says, that it's actually a valid dream that you had from Hashem. It shows that something that's actually going to happen. Okay. Good. Yeah.